The following message is brought to you from Pastor Aaron Revis of Bogles Chapel Baptist Church. We are located at 4304 Old Dixie Highway in Evansville, Tennessee. We pray this message can be an encouragement to you and applied to your life and result in a closer walk with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I'll stop right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your goodness and grace and strength. Thank you for your provisions. And Father, for always taking care of us, Lord, mentally, physically, spiritually, and Lord, financially. Lord, once again, you have blessed us with a sweet fellowship together here. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we would truly take one day at a time. Lord, I pray you would help me to expound on this passage tonight. Lord, to help us to carry something with us that might be beneficial and help us to grow in the knowledge of your word. And Father, we thank you for all you do. Lord, I pray you would fill me with your spirit, empty me of self. Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, you would cleanse me from my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Once again, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And the serpent, none other than a snake. Subtle literally means sneaky or slyful. And because he was more cunning of any beast in the field, that's who it was that Satan so desired. You see, the serpent, which, you can get off on some squirrel chase talking about could the animals talk and could they have these conversations. Well, Balaam's donkey talked. Balaam didn't think nothing about it. He's having a conversation with him. Obviously, Eve, she's out in the midst of the garden, and this serpent comes up. If a snake come talking to me, I'm going to be thinking, whoa, something weird's going on here. But obviously, she didn't think anything about it. It was commonplace, but yet, Satan come in the form of the serpent. Why? Because he was more cunning than any beast of the field. Look what he says. The serpent was more subtle. He was more cunning. He was more sneaky. He was more subtle, easygoing. That slithering, smooth approach. So I want us to understand this. Satan doesn't come into your life beating bass drums and beating cymbals together. Amen. It's the subtle, sly approach you got to look for. And whenever that he slides his way in, the very first thing that he begins to do, and the very first question, we've read through two chapters and we get to the first question, and it is instigated by none other than Satan himself. Look what happens. He says at the end of this verse 1, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Whenever that God says, and I was thinking about this earlier, when God has literally put out a decree or a direction or a command, he has already given them a commandment. So the proper answer would have been, should you not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? And the thing that he begins to question isn't whether or not that God said it. He is trying to get her on board to start agreeing. So this is literally a rhetorical question. In other words, it is one that I ask. Now, you live in Spring City, right, Sister Edna? Well, she knows she lives in Spring City. And to me, if I was her, I'd be thinking, now why in the world did you ask me that? You've been to my house. You know where I live. Well, this being, then for some reason, Satan obviously knows, not only does Eve know, and not only does Adam know, But the devil knows. What does the devil know? He knows the one commandment they're not supposed to break. Because when he come in the form of a serpent, he came slithering in, and he knows what he's going to try to deceive them to do to get them to break it. Don't you think he don't know the scriptures? Don't you think he don't know the Bible? Don't you think? I can't tell you how many Christians couldn't quote to me the Ten Commandments right now. Been to church your whole life, don't know the Ten Commandments. There's a problem with that, church. Your adversary knows more of this book than most of us do.
That's right.
And what happens is he knows that we know it, and what we got to know is know that he knows it. And what he is going to cunningly devise and try to do is get us to try to make it. Has God said, thou shalt not commit adultery? It's okay, everybody's doing it. Has God said, thou shalt not kill? Oh, that just means that's just only in certain circumstances. Has God said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor? Well, that's only if you're going to get in trouble. But God really understands if you really tell a lie. And I'm telling you, he could literally, in a rhetorical way, hath God said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor? You and I would say, yeah, ninth commandment, Exodus 20. But he continues on. Well, why in the world would you not do it? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees of with the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So this rhetorical question turns into me saying, yes, that's exactly what the Bible says. And he says, well, what does it mean, bear false witness? Well, it basically means tell a lie. Hath God said that ye shall not tell a lie? Why would you not tell a lie? Well, because God said not to. Is there a penalty for lying? Well, you won't have to bear that penalty. It's no big deal. It's okay. Every sin that Satan coerces us into, once again, as I shared this morning in Sunday school, in James chapter 1, it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. I've got a lust to do something. There's some people that's got sticky fingers. They've got a lust to be a thief. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. I'm telling you, they literally are tempted, and their fingers are so sticky to grab something, and they are just tempted to be a thief. Some people's tempted to lie. You ever heard the old saying, you know how that old boy, you know how you know if that old boy's telling a lie? And somebody looks and says, no, how? And they say, his mouth's open. And some people has that reputation, right? So Satan wants us to do every single thing that he can get us to do against God's word. So he knows God's word. He just comes and he is just trying to assure Eve, hath God said? And she says, oh no, we can eat all the trees of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we're not supposed to eat that. Matter of fact, I hear people making a big deal about her misquoting this. But of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, verse 3, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Nowhere in those first two chapters do you see anywhere it says anything about touching it. Nope. However, Eve was just formed and brought an adult form to Adam. Obviously, we're not told that God has this conversation with her. So Adam, being the leader of his home, is the one that's supposed to be the spiritual leader and tell her. So go back over with me. Go back with me in chapter 2. Verse number 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now it was after this that we're heard that this rib has been taken. And it's after this that we have heard that the provisions have been given for a woman to be supplied to Adam for a helpmeet. But how is it that Eve knows this? Well, I believe it's because Adam has told her. Listen, let me give you some ground rules here. All right? Of every fruit in the garden we can eat. But that tree right there, God said, don't eat it. Matter of fact, That reminds me, and I'm not saying that she was a child because they were both perfect and sinless at this point. But just like you would tell your children, don't do it. Don't even touch it. All right? Because you know if you don't touch it, more than likely you're not going to eat it, right? So it's almost like that Adam is overemphasized. And Eve repeats this back to the serpent. The serpent asks the first question. When we question God, there's a problem. When God says, thou shalt not, and we say, well, why? I don't know if God says, because I said so. I don't know if he says that or not. When I was growing up, you was walking on thin ice if you was to say that. I mean, it'd have been bad. Now, God is the ultimate Father. And I'll guarantee you, how many verses he says, in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. For whom the Lord loveth and chasteneth him betimes. For he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, in Hebrews 12. We know that God punishes us. He spanks us. And he spanks us to keep us in line and keep us corrected. But in this particular instance, it's hard for me to think that when God has laid out a rule, that we would ask the question. But yet sin is the one that instigates the question. Well, why shouldn't you do it? And then we come up with a million excuses why. We come up with a million reasons why. We come up with a million what everybody else is doing. And then you get the old, well, if everybody's jumping off a cliff, would you jump off of it too? And then it's that same scenario. Same thing that Satan is doing through this serpent, trying to belittle and to beguile or trick Eve into sinning against the one commandment. They could do anything. Anything. You mean they could sleep all day? Yep. You mean they would live forever? Yep. You know what I believe? I believe the tree of knowledge and good and evil, if they hadn't have touched that, there was a tree of life there that we're going to read about in just a minute. I believe they would have stayed in, a lot of times, I'll be watching college sports. Literally, those young men and young women that are playing those sports are in the best shape of their life. I believe when God made them and put them in the garden, they would have stayed that way forever. She never would have had to put olive oil on because she would have been in her youthful state forever. They could have done anything they wanted. Slept all day, went anywhere they wanted, did anything they wanted, had any pet they wanted. They could have had a pet giraffe, a pet elephant, a pet lion, a pet tiger, anything they wanted. Probably even had sat down and had a conversation with them. But this serpent, directed by Satan himself, has come and literally asked her a question. Once again, let's look at the question. Very important. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman answered correctly, except for saying that you shouldn't touch it. God never said that we know of, to Adam. So after that, he realizes that she has answered this, immediately the serpent said unto the woman in verse 4, ye shall not surely die. That won't happen. Well, listen. If God says, if you believe on my son Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, you can mark it down. That's going to happen. Amen. If God has said, and through his son Jesus Christ, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, that's going to happen. Yeah. If God had said, I'm going to send my son back to rapture or catch away the church, you can be sure it's going to happen.
Amen.
And he who has not believed on his son will be left behind. Now, why that we want to argue that is because literally that's the construing, if you would, of Satan trying to mess everything up. All right? And then as he asks this, or he doesn't ask, he just directly defies exactly what God said. If you're ever talking to somebody and they're like, that's not true. Oh, absolutely it's true. It's by everything in me true, for God doth know. Here's what he says. God just knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you shall be as gods. Notice, Satan speaks well. because it's a little g. He doesn't say you'll be as God. He knows that's impossible because he tried it. But he says he knows that you'll be gods. Matter of fact, do you know the Mormons believe that? They believe Jesus and Satan are brothers. And they believe that the only way the women can get there is through a Mormon man, this wretched pinnacle of work here on earth. And that man will go on and he'll be his own God in his own universe and have his own planet. And the only way the women can get there is through him. That's why they have polygamous relationships. Isn't that amazing? Now here's the thing. It's ironic to me that in Islam and in Mormonism, Joseph Smith, which is the director and instigator of Mormonism, supposedly saw this angel named Moroni, which was this angel of light. Well, guess what scripture says that the angel of light is? Satan. And he pinned down these things on golden tablets. And when the curtain was open, the angel was gone. And he says, oh, he vanished before you can see him. And he brings this Book of Mormon. Well, that's what they're trying to peddle to you, is the Book of Mormon. And it has all this ridiculousness in it. Well, guess what? You know what Galatians chapter 1 says? It says, though we or an angel from God preach any other gospel than that which has been preached, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Did you know in Islam, the very same happened to Allah? He saw this angel, and this angel appeared to him. You're kidding. No. And then before you know it, guess what? There is these incredible cults that have been started and false religions that are leading tens of thousands of people to hell. But just as simply, the instigator is the same. God hath not said this. And literally he appears to them. Are you thinking that somebody really appeared to them? If they did, it was Satan. Remember this morning when we were looking through Exodus, and I said, child of spirits, to say if they be in God. The magicians came up, did the same thing. Well, the magicians couldn't do that, but Satan through them could. Satan shows up, his angel of light, and then he begins to expound to them. Same thing he's doing to Eve right here. Why do I share that? I share that because I don't want us to be sucked into the same trap. If God said it, it wasn't a suggestion. And if Satan was to say, did God say, thou shalt not commit adultery? Absolutely, he did. And whatever that Satan tries to construe that anybody else around you that says, oh, that's not so, that won't happen. Oh, yes, it will happen. And I'm telling you, this very same trickery is the same thing he pulls on us. Yet he tells Eve, he says, God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, or a desire to the eyes, oh, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I understand completely, and I've heard a lot of messages preached on this. I understand completely how that Satan could deceive her. But Adam's not seen the serpent. Adam hasn't had the questions asked. Adam hasn't had God questioned. Adam hasn't had this direction given to him. Unless Eve come back and says, look, guess what, Adam? Look, I didn't die, see? It's the only thing that I can imagine. The person that Satan sucked in, misery loves company. And whenever you sin, you feel dirty, you feel ashamed. You're like, quit looking at me, God, stop. And you want to hide as best you can. She comes and misery loves company, and she's like, come on, Adam, you got to eat of this too. I didn't die. And before you know it, she's doing the same thing Satan was doing to her. And he eats too. Now we've got all the way over to the book of Romans chapter 5 that it says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men for all the sin. Amazing. Yep. we probably wouldn't even have been born. They would have still been right here on the earth, and everything would have been smooth as silk. But it happened. But immediately, here's what happened, verse 7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Why? Because immediately they become ashamed. And they're like, oh my goodness, we got to have some coverings. So they make them some coverings. It's just like, I thought of this before. If you took a one-year-old and set them down, male, and a one-year-old female and set them down, you give them a bottle, they're tickled to death with not a stitch of clothes on them. They don't know. But when the eyes of them are open, everything changes. That's where they were at. They were literally in such a place and a state of innocence, they didn't even know the difference until they sinned. And now the tree of knowledge, what did it give them knowledge of? Good and evil. Most importantly, they have disobeyed God. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were open, they made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. God already knows. He don't even have to ask this next question. He knows there's only one way that Adam could know that he was naked. And the very next question God says, he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And depending on how you read this next section, it's kind of like that text that you send, and you can't hear the way that somebody says it, and it can change everything. So you can read this as he starts blaming the woman, and I've heard that preached. But for some reason, when I read through it this time, I can hear Adam reading it in a plea. He's pleading to God. Just like if you were in court and you were found guilty and you were pleading to the judge. Not trying to play the blame game. But he says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, he beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, division between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I've had people say, where was the first inclination of the gospel? I believe it's in Genesis 1:1, but right here we see the clear gospel given, because there is going to be a seed of a woman, Mary, that is going to crush the serpent's head once and for all and take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And this is this proclamation, Jesus is going to come. Now, when is this, Brother Aaron? About 4004 B.C. That's a long time ago. We're in 2023, or 6,000 years old. So if you believe in a 6,000-year-old earth, it's about 4,040 years before Christ was born. In this sense, sins entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for all of sin. The Lord God knew he has to have a way to mitigate against the sin. So he tells us right here in verse 15, listen, there is going to be a seed born of a woman. He didn't tell us right here it's going to be Jesus. We know it was, though. And that same Jesus that was born is going to crush the serpent's head. We see that parallel over in the book of Hebrews and Isaiah. It says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You'll be subjective. You'll be submissive. You'll have children.
There's some other things that happens, ladies, that men don't have to go through, that literally, I believe, is wrapped up in that sorrow of verse number 16. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. See, before then, they had all the fruit of the garden. They didn't plant that. God put it there. They didn't have to do anything. Dress it and keep it. God provided everything. From that point on, he said, look, from now on, if you eat it, you're going to grow it. You're fixing to be banned from the Garden of Eden. And if you eat it, you're going to plant it. And you're going to grow it. And by the sweat of your face, you're going to earn this living and you're going to feed yourself. Wow. This is when work was created right here. When work was established. He says, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18. And by the way, not only are you going to have to plant your food, I'm going to give you something to have to fight against the whole time. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. It says, and Adam called his wife Eve, which means living, because she was the mother of all living, and unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins. And clothed them. Now, how did he make coats of skins? An animal had to die. And when an animal died, this was the first shedding of blood on the earth. Because an animal had to die in order for him to make coats of skins, in order to give them to have clothing. Henceforth, the Lord God said, behold, it's become of one of us, verse 22, to know good and evil, and to know, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of Eden, at the east of the garden of Eden, cherubims. That's angels. There's seraphim and cherubim. It's the type of the angel. And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way or the direction of the tree of life. They were banned. If they don't get to eat of the tree of life, guess what they're going to do? Die. Guess what God said? In the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now we're going to find out here in a little bit, as we keep reading on through the book of Genesis and studying, the length of years that they had. But it won't be long before it goes all the way down to 120. And then we've got in the book of Psalms for us today, church, that if you get 3, 4, and 10, which is 70, yep, every year after that's a blessing.
Yep. Amen.
And I'm telling you, life as we know it has shortened, and it all started by the sin of one person that integrated into the second person, and it all began by one divisor, Satan come in the form of a serpent. It was a setting that was normal, but that person came, and here's the thing, once again, he didn't come beating a bass drum and hammering cymbals. He didn't come with a pitchfork, horns, and a pointed tail. What did he do? Suddenly kind of eased up in there. If somebody starts trying to coerce us and say, that ain't really what God says, who? I would be tempted to say the same thing that Jesus told Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want to hear that mess, because I know what God's word says.
Amen.
And if it says what it says, it means what it means. Get thee behind me. That's what you and I've got to watch for. Here's the thing. In the closest setting that you could imagine, in the calmest setting you could imagine, I guarantee you this subtlety of Satan is going to slither in there and begin to try to get you to question what God has established and settled. His word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Not one jot or one tittle. That literally is like a hyphen and an apostrophe. Not one jot and tittle will be passed away. It will all be kept just like he said. Once we get that established in our hearts and minds, oh, how much better we'll be.